Would you introduce yourselves, please?
You go first, Joe.
I'm Joe from Big Special.
And I'm Cal from Big Special. I'm the other one.
You met music course in college. Mm-hmm. It's Birmingham. Joe was solo. Mm-hmm. And then you bonded. And then you kind of said, yeah, okay, we'll try this.
Yeah.
But the only thing people know about is Black Country New Road, right?
Yeah.
Like nobody knows nothing.
Well, that's a point of contention where we're from, because I think I heard that they got the name from like Wikipedia or something. Just thought it was like a cool name. Mm. But that's like a road, you know, that's a road you used to go down to work.
Right.
Oh, you're taking things that we come out to about the Black Country. And it was like, oh, Black Country New Road. And it's
yeah, so what I want to know, because I have this perception that where you come from, everybody is seen as second-class citizens.
Yeah, I think
there's a lot of that, yeah.
I think the Midlands is the forgotten county. There's always North versus South in the UK as a conversation.
Because there's North... And then there's North.
Yeah, and even the North isn't really North. Like, you got Manchester, you're not new. Well, I think as a characteristic as well, you say, you perfect example, you just said you went to Manchester and you asked someone was giving you a 2-hour tour, and when they clocked that you wanted the info, it turned into a 5-hour tour, because Mancunians are very naturally proud of where they're from. Right. And I think being put on the pedestal of being you've known as a great city for music and wears it as a shield, wears it as on its chest. Like, yep, we're Manx, you know. Same with Scousers as well, you know. London even has a similar thing, but
sure.
The Midlands identity is a shame of your own identity. It's
a self-deprecation kind of stuff.
And that's
very
where
much
I was going.
So.
Yeah,
that's very
right,
much so.
Right, and that's.
It would go from a two hour tour to a 20-minute tour probably.
Yeah.
Instead of a 5-hour tour.
Yeah, you'd probably struggle to get a tour.
You've seen the post office, you've seen the pub.
Yeah.
And there's another pub, there's a church. See ya.
See ya.
Well, moving on.
The thing is there is a lot of history there, but like there's just not a lot of stuff around it that's pushes the pride of it and stuff to people. Mm. There are people who are proud and stuff.
And it's getting better at it. It is getting better at it in the recent years.
Yeah, there is a bit more. I think starting a bit more self-awareness.
But you have called it the joke of the country. Mm. You have said that. Mm.
Not in a funny way.
No, but this is where I'm going.
Well, I think it's just it's a bit more underrepresented in the country than like some of the places, like you say about Manchester and London and stuff. It doesn't tend to show up as much in art, you know, in artwork and stuff like that, or on TV and things.
And yet there is a scene.
It's a struggle. Well, you know, it's hard to say now because like I was in the scene like 15 years ago, you know, like doing stuff. But it always, in my experience, it always seemed like the scene was struggling. There was always very talented people and hard-working people and stuff, but it just seemed like nothing could just carry on going, and the scene always changed. So there tends to be like little pocket groups of partial scenes.
There's lots of partial scenes. Like the grime scene in Birmingham is like it's one of the most unmatched hip-hop scenes in the UK on that side of the field. And then like, you know, there's like big house music scene and stuff, but even then it's...
You have to go away.
The ones in the know, the people who know about it.
Yeah, you have to get out for it to go somewhere. Like, whereas, you know, you could stick around Manchester, Bristol, London, doing gig after gig after gig, whereas in Brum, you have to kind of like leave Brum to...
Yeah, well, it's also... Now we've got behind the curtain and we're now got a booking agent, and for his first time in our careers, we can see how the industry works a bit. You learn it is the thing that people skip Birmingham. It's a hard city to sell tickets in.
Yeah, yeah.
It's I think that same downtroddenness.
Yeah, I'd love for there to be like a proper scientific like sociology like study into it, like, because it is like, you know, there's other people. There's a comedian from Birmingham called Stuart Lee, who I'm a big fan of, and he said like Birmingham doesn't celebrate its cultural heroes. And I think it's something to do with just the working class history of like being in the centre of the country. Everything went through there, and it's like just a history of like just work, 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 work. And if you ain't doing that, then what are you doing? You
know. I didn't know until I saw you the other night, and you were at the end of your sound check, and you turned sound check. into your pre-song.
You know, like our sound guy was like, we'll just go on without anything, and it's just, you got to check the gear. But whenever I'm watching a band, then you see the
ding, 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 ding.
Come
ding,
on,
ding,
let's check this and check that. It's and they're not looking at
so
the crowd.
So you just came busting out and going, sound check.
Because
what are we going to do? Anyways, do like a little sound check.
Are we going to pretend this ain't a part of it? Do you know what I mean? This isn't like a big part of what we're doing. I feel like we're not a very serious band. We take the art very seriously.
You see that word right there? It's coming up right there. Humor. I love when these go the way they're supposed to.
You've mapped this out perfectly.
Well, no, I haven't, but I get lucky sometimes. I think you're both super smart enough to understand, because you did meet, you know, in a smart place from moment one, and looks are deceiving and perceptions are, right? I know that you know that the only way to get a message through to somebody is to either make them laugh, make them cry, make them incredibly uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So you've figured that out and said, wait a minute, if we understand that, we can then take some messages.
Yeah, it's
and we
about
can get through to people.
It's about like not wallowing in the depression of it all. You know, like we said, like the stuff that the songs are about is all like quite like dark, you know, dark subject matter.
Yeah.
And so it's like, when we're at the gig, we don't want it to feel like a dark time. So it's that like
what a concept.
Yeah, it's like, you know, the music that's in the music, but once you're at the gig, it's about getting together and getting it out. You know what I mean?
But it's going back to, you know, back to what we were talking about before. It is a Midlander thing as well. We're known for having a dark sense of humour. Yeah. You have to take the graft with a laugh, or you know what I mean? It's part of us, and I think that we try and get that across.
Can't be too serious, you know.
But I think it's the ability to do it as well. Like we saw, there's a band called Maruja who played at the BME just before us, and we've known them for a long time. And they're stoic, dead faced.
Yeah.
They take that, and it's very brutal and moody, and they lean into it every night, and then it works amazingly.
Yeah, it does.
Because the main thing is that when you meet them, they're lovely geezers, but you can see that that they have that within them.
Yeah,
so
they're
just being an honest representation of themselves. We're just trying to be a laugh and we're too silly buggers, so we just try and
be honest.
We don't
act like our songs. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, if you come on and act all serious from the off, then immediately you set up a weird boundary. Like we never act serious. We're never them guys in real life. And this is just an extension of who we are. You know, it'd be silly to come on and start putting on a performance, because it is a performance. You know, we're having to dial it ourselves up to 100. But if the very first step is you pretending you're something you're not, then that's a bad.
It's about fun and it's about the joy of doing that. Like you're taking all the dark subjects and turning it into something good. You know, that the reason we did all that, you know, we went through these things, or people are going through these things, and we made a song about it. There's no point like getting up and being like, guys, really, you know, you should all think about now how dark and sad this is. We don't want to do that. We're saying like, well we're here now and we're shouting it out. Yeah.
It depends
what you're doing, but I don't think it wouldn't feel very natural to us, you know. We say we take the artwork side of stuff very seriously, but outside of that, it's quite a silly job at the end of the day, isn't it? So you can't take it too seriously.
Take your art seriously, you don't take yourself seriously.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
It also is the reason I was convinced to join, because you sent me the first demo.
Yeah.
And we wanted to start a band, but it was just all the same old, you know, I was getting older, I'm 30 by that point, and it's just like, I don't want to just go and start another band without, and just do another, here's some classic rock stuff, here's some whatever. Mm. And going back to about feeling underrepresented out of our hometown and our home county, when Joe sent me tunes and I heard the accent, I was just like, it makes when you're singing, you always sang with a bit of an American accent on the Americana stuff.
Yeah.
And it was really, you know, you could relate to it on a melody and enjoy the song. But for me, this immediately was like personal. You're using your own voice. And I knew Joe as a poet from the age of 17. Joe was a musician, but along mainly, not publicly, but as knowing you as a friend.
I'm getting emotional.
Knowing you as a friend. No, I've just been drinking whiskey and shouting my head off in Austin for 3 days. Knowing you as a friend, I always knew him as a poet more than a musician. And not having to worry about the melody and not having to worry about the instrumentation on stage. Mm. If you applied that to any other genre, people wouldn't really question it. But when it comes into a more punk and rock scene sort of thing, people. So if we were R&B artists, or if we were like, you know, yeah, doing pop singers, you know, not everyone would just be like, oh, there it is. That's how
speaking
done.
To a track.
The laptop's the new acoustic guitar. In reality, it's just what's happening to the world.
It's something you can grab and do something with now. You know, like, you know, back in the '60s, that was over here, and that, you know, that was acoustic or a banjo or something. But that's what's available now. Mm. And it's
so you've kind of paid your dues. I mean, this has been a few years. Right.
We've done 16 years.
Came out and went, boom.
No, not at all, man.
It's a madness, though. Like, look, I always get, again, maybe it's a Midland thing, I get so pranged that everybody's going to, can't do our slang around. Yeah. Get so paranoid that everyone's going to think we're like just come out of the blue, because this band, this version of us, yeah. We've only been doing this since 2020.
2020 is when the idea cropped up.
Yeah, it's still 3 years.
Which is, you know, quite a while. Years. That's quite a while. But to be in Australia, India, and America, and be all over the world is like, that's an insane amount. And to be doing it full time. I've had mates who've been in brilliant bands and they've done it forever, and they've never made it to this point, which is just to
was
be.
Was this your first time in the US playing?
We played South by 2 years ago, because the label said they'd sign us, and in the first meeting he was like, I'll sign you, and as a signing thing, I'll take you to South by, and we were like, okay, that'd be class. And then they signed us, and then a month later he was like, well, we could just save the money and not go South by, and we were like, we're going South by. So we was here 2 years ago, and we didn't have any music out, didn't have nothing online.
No.
We just did a bunch of punk gigs around South by.
Oh, which was, see, I didn't know that.
It was class, that was, you know, it was really good fun. But anytime anyone asked us, just like, oh, where can I find you? We'd be like, well, right here, right now. We ain't got nothing anywhere. It was as punk as, and probably a waste of money as it gets in a way.
Yeah.
But for us.
Doesn't matter.
We had a great time.
So it's interesting with this music to say this, but, you know, are you aware of hooks in the music?
Yeah, man. It's like, above anything else, we're like just big music fans, you know what I mean? Like, we love and respect the craft and everything, and it's like, we don't do anything by halves, you know? We try and think through everything, and we love a hook, you know what I mean? So we want to put some hooks in there and stuff. And yeah, man, always aware of like the musicality of it, especially as we're doing stuff that's mainly based more around rhythm than melody now, like doing the spoken stuff, and like the two organic parts of the band are the drums and the voice, and we're both doing rhythmic stuff, you know? So we always try and just stay aware of the musicality of stuff and still have fun with the music and not let the electronic side like simplify what we're doing too much.
And what a great segue. Let's talk about the sound and producer and beats and all of that.
Cool.
And how you, what do you bring in at the beginning? What do you come into a studio with?
Big empty room, mainly. So we record with Mike Clark, who we've been working with for years and stuff, and he took me on like to record some stuff in 2018, 2019, and for free, like, you know, just to do some creative stuff. And it's grown and grown into this. And yeah, basically we turn up at a room and we jam. We'll jam, like, you know, improvise and stuff like that, mainly.
Drum, bass, synth.
Yeah, we have a few things. We'll have like a bass and a guitar and like a little mini Moog. And like, we'll swap around and we'll just jam for hours and record it all. And then we tend to just go listen through that then, and we'll sample ourselves and stuff like that from these improvisational like jam sessions and that. So again, like, it's there's still, even though it's cut up and looped and stuff like that, there's still some of that like live musicality in there, and we still get to have the fun then of jamming, you know. I love that, and we don't get to do that on stage now. We've got the usually electronics.
Really, there's a lot of improvisation when you get to the studio.
Everything
it's a kickback against the live thing in a way, because if our live set is so regimented. I press play on the track and then we play that track. Oh, this middle eight sounds nice, do you want to keep it going? Nope, says no, I can't do that. Whereas when we get to the studio, that's when we really get, you know, I think being on the road and doing this album for so long, you get so starved of that like improvisation and getting back in the studio. We've just spent 2 months doing it.
Yeah.
It's very, we get almost two phases of the enjoyment, because we get to do the jam, record the whole thing, and then we get to then do, going back to that hip hop influence, we just sample ourselves and cut things up.
We'll retrack some stuff, add details and stuff like that as it goes. And we just, we just sit with it then. We just have the time and we'll just keep going with something.
The lyrics and all this stuff come from a lot of road experience, but then only recently, we haven't got a formula or anything, so we're learning as we go still, because, you know, we've been so busy the last few years, we barely had writing time. Now we're back in the writing zone, it's completely different. But and your lyricism has been coming out in the room this time. There's a lot of influence all over.
I'm a big note maker and stuff, but it used to be that I'd have to bury myself to carry on with the lyrics and stuff. But because we were just really hyped up, like just jamming all day and that, and recording this stuff, and then like structuring these into songs, forms and stuff. And it was just like a bit more inspiring and that, so I was able to like get my notes out and like add to them and stuff like that as we were there, as we were cutting up the jam sessions and stuff. But it's nice, it's like we get the best of both worlds in a way, because we at least start the recording process as the total opposite of what we're doing on stage. And it's just fun really, we get to give ourselves all the different parts of like making music, you know, we haven't got a certain way. We've got like four certain ways, do you know what I mean? And it's just, it's always fun, like that's what I'm always happiest like in the studio.
It takes out, keeping it from improvisation takes out all the ego as well, because like we could spend 10, 15 minutes doing one little riff that we really like, go and listen to it back, and we only like the first two notes of it, and then that spirals off into a whole other energy, you know?
Just keep that, yeah. Everything. Because we just record, you know, we just record everything when we're jamming. Mike made a track out of sounds and loops of us not jamming. It was of all the bits in between the jams, of like things being put down or like tuned or something, and took bits from all of that and made loops and stuff out of we weren't even playing. And it sounds we used that then as a backbone to like, you know, turn it into a song. And yeah, that was really good. Like, I love doing that. Yeah. It's just keeping it always fun and always creative always in the craft and a reason to do it. It's never just like, well, we've got to do this one now like we did that other one, or we need this type of song. We never ever discuss what type of song or music we're going to make it. We just crack on and let it be what it is.
You want to make it big in America, I would imagine. You don't want to be...
Absolutely, man, yeah.
And I don't mean this in any other way except the truth. There's a great bubble in the UK.
I think we're still a bit okay in the UK as well. You know, it's like life's completely changed, like doing all this, and but it's weird. It's like when you're in it and you're being busy and being ferried about and coming to interviews like this one with you and doing things like that, you're like, wow, it's really happening. But then you'll have a month at home and it's like
you come right back. You got to pay the bills. Wait a minute, what do we do now?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a strange one. We're still learning the business ropes of it, really.
Because we didn't get here till we was like in our we were both 30 really when it happened. So we had all our adulthood doing normal jobs and stuff.
What were you doing?
Van driver,
labourer mainly. We've had a million jobs, you know. Over
he
the
was
years.
A barber for a bit. I was a personal trainer for a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
I was a barman for about a decade.
I used to sandblast gravestones and. Stuff
one.
Like that, yeah. We've done loads, bit door work, bar work, yeah, cleaning,
really, yeah. But
office work,
and that's it. And then it, you know, like I said earlier, we had 16 years of doing normal jobs while trying to set up bands and get into a scene that was like difficult and trying to make art elsewhere. We were at a place where I wouldn't say given up, but we were definitely just like something has to change. So this whole new direction. Suddenly spiralled this band so quickly to this point. As he says, 3 years. We've been around now, we've been grafting, but 3 years is nothing to be able to pay your bills with it for a band from start to finish.
No,
we don't nothing.
No, that's pretty good.
Yeah, we did, and like so we did 13 years previous, but never made a penny,
we
really.
Did, but then suddenly, you know, not trying to learn the business side of it. We're trying to learn the business side of it, but at the same time, respect to all the punk attitudes of just like you are... trying to keep it true to yourself. I think we still managed to do that. Luckily, we're with an indie label who were like so brilliant with it and stuff. But like last year, we went 23 countries and we did over 100 gigs.
You've got to be honest, it's got to be true to yourself and not necessarily true to a scene. Do you know what I mean? Like you say, if a band's saying that they don't want to be successful, like, then
it's a lot. You know, I look at them and I go, yeah. I'm sorry, I'm, I'm gonna pull something on you here. And tell you that that's
because success don't mean you have to be.
There's so much self-deprecation in the world you can do.
Yeah.
Torturing yourself.
But we're used to that. We're from this capital of self-deprecation. So we're trying to get out of it.
I think it's important. We ain't got a bloated idea of this. If we're at this level, I'd love to play America and get massive. If Americans just decide, I didn't think this was going to get out of Birmingham. I didn't think this was going to get to America and Thailand and all this. If we stay at this level where we're just, you know, we're paying our bills via our art, and we're just consistently doing these sick gigs where people are turning up and we're having a great time, and we can feel the impact that our music's having to some degree in a room somewhere. That's brilliant. We don't want to be the next Coldplay, because I feel like to get to that level, it's almost an ascension of...
You have to sacrifice something then in the artwork, don't you, to be that big and broad.
Already we're finding, like, you know, there's no not from our team and all that, but mates around us, there's pressure you hear from labels and industry, and you have to start playing a game and starting to do a certain dance, and we don't particularly want to change our artistic work in any way, shape or form.
No, the success for us is being able to put out our music and gig and pay our bills off that, you know what I mean? And like I'd say, the ultimate goal really is just to have music that's made an impact, you know, like I said, above anything, we're just like nerds for music. So if our stuff can be in the conversation as some of the people we love, then that's the real success, and not having to go back to a normal job, you know. That's the two.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs on the outside, and then you get to pick a bunch of songs to play in between.